I've talked myself into Shimmercast to Romero tonight, possibly, I think, while I'm doing this podcast.
That was not James's age. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Switch.
It's not yours either, because I think yours starts with a four, doesn't it?
What, my age?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. I'm in my 40s. 40s, but I'm aging like a fine red wine. What's your name?
My name's James. What about
okay.
you?
Okay. I said my name.
How's your face?
It's all right. Hello, listeners. I'm back. I have missed podding this week, but I am back. Yeah, it's all right. It's a bit... It's an unnecessary
story. Lots of
people
are concerned for you.
Really?
Yes. Tell everyone you're okay.
I'm all right. I'm going to live. Like there are times where I felt like I might not, but I am going to live. All good. I had to have a tooth out, as I heard on Monday's pod, but it was all good. It was nice to listen to you guys for a change, but I did miss the pod. But we're podding again tomorrow because we got a full set of midweek fixtures. Yeah. Although my team are playing your team, and your team are highly likely to win.
Plenty of Peel Derby tonight.
I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it that much, but you know, it's kind of one of them where we're expected to lose. We expect we're going to lose, so whatever happens, happens now.
Okay, get
anyway,
your excuses in.
We're talking about
Sky Fantasy Football.
Sky Fantasy Football.
How's your week?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Sitting in front of you, isn't it?
Well, in the sense that obviously I hadn't really made a plan for this kind of period in terms of a lot of transfers that I wanted to make or needed to make. So I went into it just like doing nothing.
Okay.
Literally my plan was let's just do nothing. And when I had my tooth out on Monday, obviously my head was in the shed. So I was like, I can't even get my head around what's happening here. So let me just deal with the problems that are in front of me now, which was one, which was Alisson. So I sold Alisson for Sanchez, and that's the only transfer I've made since last week. I'm on 96 points.
Oof.
Is that good or bad? It's bad, isn't it? Because I've dropped to 10K.
Well, I'm on 106 and it's bad.
Okay, so 10 points behind you. I've got a few to play today. On Sky, you can't really see who you captain on what day, can you?
You can. You probably went Saliba Saturday against Wolves, I'm going to guess.
I did, and that worked out okay.
You probably went Haaland against Tottenham on Sunday, I'm going to guess.
Yes.
Or did you go Salah?
No, I did Haaland.
Yeah.
He's sitting on 18 points.
On Tuesday, you probably captained Saliba against Luton.
I did, and I should have captained Martinelli. At least I got Martinelli's points.
About you should have captained Martinelli. Don't be silly. And then on Wednesday, I presume last night, you probably captained Salah against Sheffield United.
I did.
Right, so I don't need to tell you I captained this week either. So that's it, isn't it?
I mean, Sanchez on 12 points at the moment. So the points that he picked me up on Sunday. When did you get my 12 points?
Last night. Saved penalty, mate.
Ah, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, Bruno missed the penalty. Did he save
the penalty? Well, no, this is a legitimate save rather than
So Sanchez, 12 points is tidy. Colwill, 9 points. Gets in there, son. He scored.
Okay,
didn't he?
Yeah.
And then an assist off Diaby. I had a goal off Martinelli yesterday, and then Salah and Haaland's points. Everyone else has got them as well. So, you know, nothing special. I think I might sell Diaby tonight for Son. I've got enough money to do it. And then I'll put the armband on Son.
I mean, if you can make that move, yeah, I can't really give you a reason not to do that. Unless you'd rather go for like Romero's back.
Nah. Would be the only I'm in a 4-4-2. I'm going to stick in a 4-4-2.
I think, look, if you're going to captain him today, you wouldn't Sunday, I don't think.
Well, my alternative is Bowen. That's all I have.
But then next Friday, if you've got the captaincies in there, go with the offensive player, I think, one. So.
And I expect minimum two or three goals tonight from Spurs, so I've got to go with Sonny, really. So I'm going
to. You've got no coverage tonight as it stands?
Bowen.
Yeah, there's still justification to make the transfer and captain
him. Yeah. I mean, I've not used many. I'm on 34. I think that's reasonable.
The only thing you've got to think about is obviously, I take it Diaby's your Villa Sheffield United coverage, is it?
At the moment, yeah.
So you just want to set yourself to go up to Watkins, not this Sunday, but
100%.
The next one.
Like, he's so on my radar.
Or obviously come off a Palace Brighton player into that on the night is a different way of doing it.
Don't have any of them.
What's your thinking at Palace Brighton?
Skip.
Now, tell you what it is for me. It's whichever one of my dickheads gets injured in the next 10 days.
That's also highly likely to happen.
He's going to get sold for Pascal Gross. And if no dickhead gets injured over that period, I'll probably sell Alvarez for Pascal Gross. That's, nice. That's probably the plan at the moment. So I've actually got 3 million in the bank at the moment.
And 2.8. You're richer than me.
But I'm not spending it, I don't think. I don't think that's the only transfer I've really got in mind now is to get Gross in when Brighton play Arsenal. If you're thinking, oh, I could have done that last night, the only person I'd have been selling is Saliba, which I wouldn't have been that against, but I'm in a 3-4-3, so that was obviously off the table for me. All the rest of my attacking players were either playing last night or tonight, so it wasn't on the table for me to make the move last night. So yeah, Pascal Gross would be the one when that comes around, and rather than Lewis Dunk on his 4 yellow cards or a suspended Lewis Dunk against Arsenal. No, I'll chance my arm with Gross. Even more so the fact that he got rested against Chelsea on Sunday, because he's the other one, like Dunk, that just doesn't really. He actually had 3 shots on target as a substitute at Chelsea on Sunday, believe it or not. So, yeah, he's got multiple avenues for points. I wouldn't even know where he's going to play in that one, but yeah, sure. And that also, I think the other one is, that would give me a secondary in case I sign up to Jared Bowen before the last game, West Ham v Brighton, before overhaul. And I say last game because it might be the last game before overhaul. No Manchester City versus Brentford update. We do think there's a chance that the arrangement of the FA Cup third round games, if, say, City and Brentford's games both get moved to the Sunday, which is unlikely but possible for overseas TV coverage, it might open up Thursday the 4th of January to show City-Brentford, if that's what Sky want to do. There seems like there's no reason to wait on announcing the games unless it's a TV problem. Like, what are you waiting for now? If you're not going to be on TV, you know, just less than 4 weeks now for the fans, get it announced. Actually, that's a lie. Four weeks today, sorry, would be January the 4th. So it needs to happen ASAP. I've heard that there's an FA Cup third round game likely to be moved to that night on the Thursday. So I think it's not happening before overhaul, I think.
Okay.
It's not to say it's a definite, but I think if that information that I got told last night is correct, then it's not going to happen. So we're probably down to sort of 25%-ish, I think, at this stage on it being before overhaul. The following midweek is a possibility, but I think in that circumstance, that would possibly then maybe be the first game after overhaul. If it's, say, Wednesday the 10th, they might do it that way, because at least then you've got a week window for the overhaul. Whereas if you moved out and that's the last game, then if Burnley Luton gets brought forward to the Friday, you've only got 2 days. So I think if it was the following midweek, it's more likely to be the first game rather than the last game.
Understood. So,
but I think it's more likely to be when won a Champions League 3 midweeks for City in late February or early March is beginning to look more likely.
Do you think if you're Man City, you want to play the game or you want to hold the game back? Because now they've got a bit of a deficit in the league and there's a long way to go. But psychologically, they're behind, but they will have a game in hand. So I don't know whether psychologically they'll want to keep the game in hand up their sleeve or they'll want to play it.
Again, it might come down to TV companies. It might come down to the two clubs don't want the game. Brentford have obviously got a lot of injury issues at the moment. City have obviously got the Club World Cup. You would think the week commencing January the 8th would be the ideal time for City, because Brentford won't have Tony back from suspension. They obviously have African players gone to AFCON, which would include Mbeumo. However, I would suggest on what happened at Brighton last night, Mbeumo probably won't go to AFCON.
Yeah, I'm glad other people... I don't want any player to be injured, but I'm glad other people are feeling the pain. I've felt with Mbeumo.
If you've got... It's a gamble. On the way he left the pitch, I would be pretty astonished if he played at Sheffield United on Saturday. So I think that's a sell to something tonight. Even if you think that's going a bit early, you might even be blocked into midfield. Something like Anthony Gordon is fine. If you haven't got Bowen, I think, to be honest, pick him up, because it would be useful for that captaincy right at the
end. Kudus, if you can't afford.
Don't hate it. Brennan Johnson, no. I think Brennan Johnson, midfielder. Kudus-Eski is probably a no. Bissouma's over the suspension issue now. Lo Celso might get the odd pass into here, but I don't think it'll maintain the fact he scored in the last two. So there'd be enough you could pick from tonight to go into something, I think. Bruno Guimaraes even will pick up the odd bit now and again.
I've decided, though, I want Man City to win the league and the FA Cup and the Champions League.
They won't win it the way they played last night. They got absolutely battered.
They won't.
Battered.
Did you see Pep before the game in his presser? You might have been watching Sheffield United, Liverpool. He confirmed.
No, I was watching Sheffield United, Liverpool and Crystal Palace versus Bournemouth.
He confirmed.
And Fulham
if they win
versus
the treble,
Nottingham Forest.
He said, if we win the treble, I will retire. That's a very bad Pep accent. He said he will retire. If they win the treble again, he said, I will retire, because he was trying to make the point that it's so unlikely that they'll do it 2 years in a row. But we need to get that guy out of our league, mate, to be honest, because for the last 5-6 years, his team have been dominating, and I think the best chance that other teams have is to get rid of him. So go on, City, so win the treble, and Pep, adios, amigo.
They're fourth.
At the moment.
Do you know how badly they got beat up last night?
Do you know how many more...
I'm just saying, do you know how badly they got beat up last night?
I know, but this time last year, they were 8 points behind Arsenal. Just saying, and they won the league. They're only six behind this year.
Yeah, and also worth saying, Arsenal were winning every single game.
I think there are other teams...
Which they haven't done yet this year.
I think there are other teams in the mix this year. There's a lot more depth in quality and a lot more...
My team goes level with them, I think, if we win tonight.
Yeah.
Man United are only 3 points behind Man City, which is the most astonishing stat you'll hear today. But it's true.
Our team's only 6 points behind them if
we win
tonight.
In fairness, Manchester United were very good last night, actually. So we have to give them their praise, which we'll do tomorrow. That's irrelevant. You probably want to know about my score week a little bit.
106 points, sir.
So not that different from you. And I also bought Robert Sanchez, not for the same reasons.
Is it you basically got Watkins and I've got Diaby? Is that what's happening here?
Probably, yeah.
He's been hurting me in this game for far too long. He's a classic example, Watkins, of when you're on the wrong person here, sometimes you're like, when's the opportunity to daisy chain to get to the right player? Just pull the plaster off and fix it. And I haven't done it for too long and I need to do it. And I think that's a lesson from that, is when you know patently that that's the better asset.
It's not just that.
Just get it done.
The ownership's going to kill you,
it's
right?
It's killing me.
He's in 80% of the top 1,000.
It's killing me.
It'll be more than that when he plays Sheffield United, as long as he's fit. I bought Sanchez for Pope, which was the Newcastle coverage that I really wanted over this period. With the money I've got in the bank, there is a case to say go and buy Kieran Trippier to give you something of it, because the fixtures are really good. But he's on four yellers. And there's a couple of instances where that can be added if necessary. But I think it probably won't be, actually. So Sanchez 12 for me. You're Shimikas owner now, aren't you?
I am.
You're a Saliba owner now, aren't you?
I am.
You're not a Pedro Porro owner, are you?
I'm not. Cole and Cash.
I got -1 from that beauty at the weekend, but I think I might get a bit more tonight. Mo Salah 13. Jared Bowen shots here at the weekend, 4 points. Sonny's 9 at Manchester City. Cole Palmer's 9 last night was quite handy. Haaland 18. Alvarez 7. Watkins 11. So what bits have you had returns from that? Martinelli
and Colwell.
Oh, Colwell scored on Sunday as well,
Martinelli and Colwell counteracted a little bit. Your Cole Palmer and Sonny.
Not a good week, though. Should we do captaincy?
What's your rank then overall now?
Oh, I've dipped a little bit. 580.
I'm like 10K, 580. So well out of it. But
580, 30 to go. So a little dip. But to be honest, it would have been worse by the Sanchez penalty save and obviously Cole Palmer scoring last night as well. So there's a couple of, let's say, relative differentials have pulled me a return there. Palmer's in 38% of teams. Sanchez 25%. I do think that'll really grow with Sanchez on Sunday from the Everton game this week. I think there's a few will be making moves to go there. Captaincy this week.
Yeah, boringest conversation ever. Salah. I'm going Sunday tonight. Assuming I buy him and he's in the team. Like, I cannot understand why he wouldn't be, but you never know, right? Salah.
Yep.
Haaland.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I'm going to just cover it now and just get it done and dusted.
Do the week after as well if you want. Same three. Son, Haaland, Salah. I'm literally using three players for the next six cats and tees.
Yeah, and then you come into the Palace Brighton. So, I think you're right. It's best choices on probably the next 5 days. As it stands, is Son, Salah, Haaland, Son, Haaland, Salah. Next 6 days. Sorry. Yeah. That's pretty much probably what it is. Yeah.
I mean, Wolves at home for West Ham on the last day, if you fancied going Bowen or a little bit rogue, isn't too bad. But...
Any planned moves for you this week?
No.
What are you on left?
Barring injuries, 34.
Okay. Transfers. Rank?
10K. It's not good. Dropped. Yeah, it's not good. But it's like 150 points away from 100. So I think it will take a couple of good captaincies and I'll be able to get back up to 5K.
You already acknowledge and know that's not happening now, right?
Yeah.
These ain't ones to gamble. I always gamble against Haaland versus Luton or Crystal Palace. No. I don't. I know people say, Luton have been tough to beat at home. We're still going to see Ford or Arsenal.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it would be Haaland. I think Salah Saturday. And I think, obviously, he only played 67 minutes last night.
Yep.
So there's no reason to think he won't start. We'll see the team. I have to say, it would be a bit up in the air of what I'd do if he wasn't in the team. I wouldn't have many other options. Tsimikas would be one. Watkins and Saliba would be others. I think I'd arguably just go Watkins.
Home tie. 14 home wins in the league on the bounce.
I mean, they were absolutely brilliant last night at Villa. Mm. I think they'll find Arsenal a more difficult game. Goes Agreed. Without saying. But yeah, you've got a bear pit there at Villa Park where they think they're going to beat anybody they play there. And they're capable. Why not?
They've won 14 league games in a row.
Put it this way, I wouldn't expect Saliba to hit passing tiers unless Arsenal were losing. Would probably be my take at the moment. So that's captaincy wrapped up. For me, transfers, none planned. What I would say is I'm at Thiago Silva / Pascal Gross are first immediate options for me to go to. So I think if I had an injury tonight, I would maybe just pull the plaster and go for that Pascal Gross move for the Brighton-Burnley game Saturday. That would obviously give me an alternative captaincy option to Mo as well, should he not be in the team, but we do think he will be. If I had an injury on Saturday, then I think that's Thiago Silva Sunday. And my intention right now is not to add him, but to know that there are so many opportunities where any player I get injured, that's probably where I'm going. Otherwise, I just go with Sanchez and Palmer now. I don't need it, but it'll be a nice solution if I have a problem come up, because I feel fairly covered for captaincy right the way through. So other than the two single game days, the Palace Brighton, I know Gross is my solution. Obviously, I've got Ollie Watkins on Friday the 22nd. That doesn't feel like one I need a secondary option for, i.e. could he get rotated? Not with 5-day break beforehand and another 4-day break afterwards. Yeah. I don't see why he would be. So I don't feel like I need cover for that. I've now got two Chelsea in play. So I would be fine running through. Even the final one, if I end up with Gross, it'd be Gross and Bowen. So I'd have two covers everywhere for every day. And therefore, I'm probably just reacting on injuries and just leaving this be, even with the money in the bank. Trippier, as I said, is another one for me that would maybe tempt, depending on when it happens. But like, you know, you could say, I got an injury tonight, go and buy him on Sunday. But then if he gets booked at Tottenham and misses Fulham, that's shit.
Yep.
So is that I'm not saying anyone should sell Trips, of course not. But I think it's worth saying any player that you're buying at the moment, the first thing you need to do before you even look at your calendars, really, is look at the number of yellow cards. I think any player on four, you almost have to assume he's going to get suspended before the end at this stage. And three is dangerous as well. So that needs sense checking every time you consider making a transfer at the moment. It's another reason for me not to stress too much about it, I don't think.
Cool. What was the weekend like in the, obviously, the first couple of days in terms of tier points? Anything interesting coming out from any of these games, or is it much of a muchness?
Yeah, a few bits. There were five Arsenal players who hit passing tier against Wolves, but probably surprising on that. Gabriel was not one of them. And William Saliba only on 63. Tomiyasu's 61. We think he's certainly going to be out till after overhaul now, which if any of you are on Ben White, that's good news. It's probably good news for Zinchenko owners as well, despite the fact he didn't start at Luton. He got 74 passes. Rice and Odegaard, 76 and 78, respectively. The two Wolves wingbacks both hit tackles here in the game. I know a few people picked up Cunha. Will be absolutely delighted with obviously the shot tier and goal at Arsenal at the weekend, as it will be of obviously Huang's goal on Tuesday night. Shot tier and a goal for Saka in that game. Number of passing tiers for Brentford, which is not a common one, but against Luton, we shouldn't be too surprised. Yanel, me, Pinnock, Norgaard, all tier two. Norgaard tackle tier as well. It was certainly a miss for Brentford last night through suspension. Be back at the weekend to be a plus for them. From the Burnley-Sheffield United game, only one pass in Tier, despite the fact Sheffield United played more than a half with 10 men, is a major surprise. Because I just went to look and say, well, I wonder how many Jordan Bayer got. 53.
Oof.
Dar O'Shea, 60. And the irony
it's just crept in.
The irony of irony with Jordan Bayer, cast your mind back 2 months, and we said he might be really useful for Wolves away. He got his fifth yellow card on Saturday and missed the game anyway. Don't regret that you sold him. Nothing unsurprising for Sheffield United of note in the game. There were some passes for Forest players against Everton. Murillo, Aurier and Mangala. Murillo had a bit of a head meltdown in that game last night. I'll talk about it tomorrow. Dwight McNeil shots here, the only for tier for Everton. No passing tiers in the Newcastle-Manchester United game on Saturday, which is probably surprising for those who watched the game.
Yeah, it felt like Newcastle were so in control.
Trippier and Gomera's 56 passes the most. Gomera's hit tackle tier, Anthony Gordon goal and shot tier. Onana saved tier, Dalot tackle tier. Diogo Carlos and Douglas Luiz hit passing tier for Villa at Bournemouth. Konsa and Tielemans in tackles. Martinez, 5 saves. Ticking over quite nicely at the moment, Emi Martinez. Semenyo and Solanke shot tier for Bournemouth. Ryan Christie, 6 tackles. Playing well for Bournemouth at the moment. For Chelsea, 7 saves for Sanchez on Sunday. At least give us something, despite the 2 goals conceded. Yep. Enzo Fernandez, 3 shots on target, 2 goals. I want to say they were his first goals for Chelsea, I think.
This season?
I think his first goals, I think.
Okay.
I think. Maybe, I might have that wrong.
He scored a penalty or two last season.
He missed a penalty at you, didn't he? I don't know if he scored one last year.
I feel like he must have scored one. There's always the debate of whether he was on pens.
Can't recall. Anyway. For Brighton, Julio, Van Heck and Gilmore, tier 2 passing. As mentioned, Pascal Gross on 57 minutes and had 3 shots on target. Liverpool-Fulham game. Virgil van Dijk, 90 passes. Joel Matip was on 52 when replaced with 20 minutes to go. And his football season is over. ACL injury might make Ibrahima Konate an interesting one, I think, particularly after overhaul rather than before.
They were saying his contract's up at the end of the summer as well, at the end of the season
Matip,
as well.
Yeah, every
it
chance
might be
he won't play
Liverpool
for them again.
Career done as opposed to season done.
Yeah, shame that. Don't wish that on anyone. No. Bernd Leno, own goal, 4 goals conceded, but also 9 saves, and obviously did pick up clean sheet last night. Anthony Robinson and Paulinho in the tackles. Never a surprise to see Paulinho there. Trent, only 66 passes. Szoboszlai, 2 shots on target. Luis Diaz, 4. Only the assist for Mo Salah. From West Ham Palace, can you guess the one player at passing tier, Suj?
From West Ham Palace, Anderson or Gehi. So let's go Anderson.
Nair Figuered, 69. Joachim Anderson was 59 and 4 tackles. Chris Richards played in midfield for Palace last night as well as on Sunday. 5 tackles, 1. There was a shot here for Jared Bowen. Who had the most passes in the Manchester City Tottenham game, Suj?
Ooh.
It's by a distance. I'll tell you the number was 80.
Is it defender?
Yes.
Mancy Diaz.
No.
Not Ben Davis.
No.
Ben Davis.
No.
Porro.
No.
Okay, give up.
It's the Royal King, Emerson Royal. 80 passes. And that's because City...
Let him have the ball.
Well, it wasn't the case that they let him have the ball. It was they weren't intent on pressing Tottenham him, until the ball went to Emerson Royal. So it kept going to him. Nearly double Ben Davis' number. Don't take too much notice of that. That's a one-off. Romero will almost definitely come in for Royal tonight. Manchester City's passing numbers. Rodri, 69. Walker, 66. Diaz, 61. On the low side. So only tier 1 and the yellow card for Rodri, which obviously meant he was suspended last night. On to the midweek games. Gomez and Dawson with tier 1 passing. Max Kilman, owners have been unlucky again. Sure, you got the clean sheet this time, but yellow card and only 50 passes completed. Moment of silence for Jose Sarr owners, because obviously he didn't play last night. Bentley played in goal and kept a clean sheet. Made 2 very good saves in the first half, but that was about his lot, really. Nothing in terms of the passing tier for Burnley players. Ekdal, who covered for Bayer at centre-back, 54 passes completed. From the Luton-Arsenal game, again, the number's not massive for the Arsenal players at the back. Gabriel, 60. at Luton is surprising. Saliba higher, 83. Declan Rice, 72. Martin Odegaard with a passing tier 1 with 60.
Worth it saying, didn't feel like Gabriel was that involved in the game, if I'm honest with you. Particularly the first half an hour. I had to actually pull up the app and check, is he in the team? Because I didn't hear his name mentioned that much. So maybe they were just consciously going through Saliba.
Well, they had a lot of the ball, obviously. But, I mean, This is a common theme now that Saliba is getting more than Gabriel. It's a regular now. It's because commonly... didn't happen, obviously, so much on Tuesday night. But Zinchenko, obviously, comes off the left into midfield. So Saliba becomes the middle one. He's always going to end up with more because from either side, they'll just go into Saliba, right? Whereas Gabriel's back to Saliba or going forward. Shots here for Jesus and Gabriel Martinelli. Just the assist for Bukayo Saka, captainers. Brighton against Brentford. Passing numbers a little on the low side. Be interesting to check what the minutes in play was for this. Julio, 77. Van Heck, no passing here. Only 58 passes. Billy Gilmore, 72. Baleba, 61. You're going to ask about Pascal Gross, aren't you? 58. On the borderline. Adinga and João Pedro with shots here. An assist for Karim Mitoma. Mark Gay, 78 passes last night against Bournemouth. Guess the Jockey Manderson, Suj?
52.
34.
Ooh, low.
Not even half of Mark Gay. So there's something there tactically in the game to potentially have a look at. And Ryan Christie, 6 tackles again for Bournemouth. So there's 12 tackles in the last 2 games. I'm not suggesting you go there, but it might be one later in the season to keep more of an eye on.
6.7.
Yeah,
they're a good run. Well,
he's now playing in a pivot role, so he's playing deeper. So he's seeing more of the ball. And he's winning plenty of it as well. So him and Cook now look like they've established themselves as the first choice in Bournemouth midfield. Doing a great run, right?
Really good. 4 out of 5, is it?
13 points on their last 6.
Yeah.
They will give Manchester United a better game on Saturday than Chelsea gave them last night. Fulham, Nottingham Forest. Forest got absolutely slapped pretty badly. And if you're thinking it was a counter-attacking masterclass, 98 passes completed for Tom Kearney. Calvin Bassey, 84, played left-sided centre-back for the first time. Tim Ream didn't start. Tosin Adebayo back in the team, 74 passes completed. Andreas Pereira, tier 1 passing, Suj, 61.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Raul Jimenez, Alex Iwobi, 2 goals apiece and shot tier, obviously. Just the 7 tackles, 1 for Paulinho, unusual night at the office. 4 tackles, 1 for Anthony Robinson.
It's not going to happen every week, that, for Fulham, though, let's be honest.
No, but what I'm saying is it's not like they put on a counter-attacking masterclass.
They dominated.
Just completely dominated them, yeah.
Dominated them.
We'll have more of a chat about Forest tomorrow because I don't think that's interesting from a Sky perspective. No. For Sheffield United, Souza, Bogle and McAtee, all with tier 2 passing. Interestingly, for Sheffield United, back 4 last night. I'm loving Arnil Omihodzic playing centre-back and only completing 7 passes for Sheffield United. It's quite an interesting one. But only 2 Liverpool players completed passing. Trent Alexander-Arnold missed out, 59, despite the assist and obviously clean sheet. Konate, 98. Van Dijk, 83. Van Dijk obviously scored. Shot here as well. So a really good haul. Konate also won tackles as well.
19 points, really good haul. That's the
massive
stuff, stuff of legends,
I think,
mate.
I think it was Morpheus. Morpheus Fire Hittish.
Yeah.
He was asking me about hop on, hop off of buying Van Dijk on Sunday for the 3 games, I think, and then selling again. He's obviously hauled last night. I don't know if he did it or not. But if he did, well done. But he needed that sort of thing, I think, to be worthwhile for the 2 transfers for just the 3 games. But well done, you've got it.
Yeah.
Shots here from Mo Salah. Villa, Man City last night. Ruben Diaz, 94 passes, was the only Manchester City player to hit tiering. Josko Gvardiol, 8 tackles, 1. Manchester City's best player.
Haaland got a shot tier.
He did in the same attack. That was Manchester City's 2 shots from 1 attack. Man City's best player last night, by a distance, was Edison. 6 saves.
Yeah.
I think that was over 25% of his saves this season.
Mad.
For Villa, John McGinn, 6 tackles. Leon Bailey, 3 shots on target. Diogo Carlos, 54 passes, 1. There's a little trend there with him, but he's not established in... he's establishing himself in the team, but Pau Torres is the safer one to go for if you are looking at Villa defensive coverage. And there's a few Matty Cash owners who I think are probably looking at sell at the moment. Finally, for Manchester United, Chelsea last night, Scott McTominay, 5 shots on target. And there should have been a 6th in that as well. 2 goals scored. Sofyan Amrabat tackles 1. 7 saves for Sanchez to go with his penalty save. Thiago Silva, 65 passes completed. Axel Disasi, 81. Moises Caicedo, 1-6 tackles. They were well beaten. Man, that was Manchester United's best performance of the season.
Yep. Good, good. There are a number of questions that we've had in on X.com, James, and they refer to some of the stuff that I wanted to ask you whilst we're going through the tiering points and stuff, which I think would help us get through the conversation. There's a number of players there that, yeah, are in and around the fringes that considering. So let's get into them, shall we?
Go.
Editor says, cash to Romero tonight, or would you move Diaby on now? So, Cashew didn't play yesterday. Is he out of the team? Because Leon Bailey started, Diaby came off the bench. Are we seeing a change? But I also felt like the way that the formation had been set up was specifically for Man City as opposed to... I don't feel like...
The same player...
They'll probably do the same thing for Arsenal.
This will sound weird, but the same player is affecting both of those players, and it's Leon Bailey, who I said when he came on against us was great.
Yeah.
Then he played well again at the weekend and scored. He was excellent again last night. Now, with Leon Bailey, he'll get injured in the next couple of weeks. But I think the right answer on those two players is to sell both. I think. Because you're delaying the inevitable. I think, as it would stand, subject to limbs afterwards, and it's worth saying Bailey was limping towards the end of the game. But I would, he'll pick the same team, I think. If he can pick the same team against Arsenal, pick the same team. So, but if Bailey did get injured, weirdly, you might find that Cash and Diaby both come back into the team. And they'll definitely get minutes. Like, Diaby will play at some
point.
It's not yesterday. Like he's jettisoned or anything like that. Matty Cash is very unlikely to play against Arsenal as it stands. But if Bailey has a problem, Cash will come into the team. I think their sales... Because I don't think they're established in the sense you could look at the fixture and go, yeah, well, after Arsenal, they'll definitely play all 4 anyway, even if a Bailey was injured. So I think it's a sell. If you haven't got Watkins, part of your moves needs to be to tee that up to get that in on Sunday the 10th. Is that right? Sunday the 10th? No, it's not. Sunday the 17th, sorry. I wouldn't like break
you
it.
You wouldn't wait till Friday the 22nd.
No, you get him in for Brentford away, don't you? Okay. There's got to be something there you can sell.
Yeah, see, for me right now, I'm looking at Spurs have got 3 games. West Ham at home, Newcastle at home, Forest away. I can daisy chain that on to... So I could get 3 games to Sun, move that on to Watkins, who will have Brentford, Sheffield United, Man United. You've only got the Everton game in that time period.
But to be honest, even if you want to do a hokey-cokey, over those 3 games, which would include the Sheffield United captaincy as a minimum, say for Watkins... 4-0 over Haaland.
Yeah, that's also true.
So, if you're stuck for that, there's no reason not to go there. So, even if you're stuck for the money, that's an option for you.
Yep.
And it's 2 transfers, but then as opposed to, say, the Van Dijk one, you're looking there and going, oh, well, the power alone of the Sheffield United game could make that worthwhile, right?
So, well, yeah. I mean, Sheffield United were, I really don't want to use the word better yesterday.
Point being, and then if you bring Haaland back in, you're bringing him back in for 2 captaincies as well. So
I did think yesterday, the effort, like when they played against us, I thought they were pathetic in terms of work rate and effort. I thought yesterday they tried a lot harder, Sheffield United.
I would have changed the manager.
The quality in the final third, you were a bit... suspect.
Listen, they might have a little bounce.
But the effort was better.
There's still no not wanting Ollie Watkins for that night.
100%. Yeah. It's a single game day and he's the captain that you need for that day.
As long as he's fit for that game, that's as close as you get to essential in this, really, for a single game day.
The only thing I would say to AD is, I don't want to buy Romero today because I don't trust him. Not in a London derby against us where, obviously, the temperature will be turned up. Like if Antonio starts today, which I think he might.
Antonio's not fit, mate.
Is he not?
No.
I thought I heard him on the pod saying he was looking to try and get back the other day. Anyway,
even if he won't start anyway, no chance.
I just feel like regardless of quality gap, it's an intense game and I don't trust Romero not to lose his head again.
I do, actually.
He's been better, I get it, but then he fucked up the other day, didn't he?
I do. Let's look at this realistically. In that moment against Chelsea, he's been an idiot. It's not like a, or an overly aggressive tackle in the sense of he's gone to hurt the opponent, right? It's not on. It's definitely a red card. He will have been sitting there thinking about that for a month. He hasn't played for a month, Serge.
Yeah, but I just can't trust him.
And look at the results the team's had without him. So he knows he's let everyone down. And yeah, with Van de Ven's injury, he can't do it. So am I going to sit here and say Romero definitely can't get sent off? No, because he'll be aggressive in the tackle. What I'm telling you is he won't do something stupid like that.
Okay.
He won't. He will have been told. And to be honest, I think it's one, you'd look at the results of the team, you go, oh, I can't do that. I'm letting everyone down. So, yeah, Romero's an obvious one from that perspective. In terms of moving Diaby on, something like Anthony Gordon is obviously decent.
If you've got money in the bank, obviously Son, if you can get there.
I'd probably write, Son's obvious, yeah. Bowen, obviously. And yeah, go tonight, by the way. Go for it. I'd probably prefer, if you were in a situation where looking at two Tottenham, I'd almost for the minute, it sound mental this, I'd almost rather you just went Romero and Porro.
So AR says, thoughts on double Spurs defence? Starting with West Ham at home, up to overhaul. Do Romero and Porro outscore Saliba, up to overhaul? Thanks for the content this year, gents. My pleasure, buddy.
No, I have no thought of moving that. And again, that's...
What price is Porro?
It's 7-8, same.
Same as Romero. Pound for pound.
Romero's the one of the two in this format, I think, still, because it's the guarantee. There's a little bit more wild unpredictability about Pedro Porro. So, look, if you're aiming more for wildness and understand that it could be a two-pointer, then Porro's your guy. Romero, if he plays 90 minutes, he'll be close to under passes tonight, I should imagine. I don't hate it, but I wouldn't move Saliba on. My thoughts on Saliba are, you look at the next three and you go, Villa, Brighton, Liverpool. But we've seen before, take Manchester City at home as an example, where sometimes in some of the bigger games, you'll get a low scoring encounter. They very nearly kept a clean sheet at Newcastle, remember? So there could be that. Parson Tears probably won't be there in the game, so that feels a bit shit. But he offers a really good captaincy cover for the last two games, the West Ham and Fulham games, before overhaul. And so, therefore, I'd kick myself. Having already sold him once this season and regretted it, I'd kick myself if I sold him and Son got injured in the meantime, because I'd be thinking, the first thing I'd be thinking is, I need to get Saliba back for those two games. That's okay. What I'd be thinking. So no, I think for me that's going to stay. Do I think like Thiago Silva outscores him over that period? Yeah. Does he outscore him as an example? I'm talking about making the move Sunday as an example. Do I think he outscores him enough to make the transfer worthwhile? Probably yes, actually. But that could fall apart. And Saliba will play one more game than Silva. In terms of Romero, how much Romero would outscore Thiago Silva, Saliba over that period is dependent on how many clean sheets Tottenham get in there. Because what I would say is, of the six games Tottenham have got... You're right there, pal. There's a fly. Yeah, there is one fly in here that's absolutely triggered and drunk, by the way.
Which one we have downstairs? Nico, what? I'll let Nico say.
Oh, look, here he is.
We've got an electric tennis racket. You know, you can just
We'll bring that up later.
Yeah,
we'll have
some fun later with that.
Wouldn't kill a fly here on Planet Sky FF.
We would.
Romero will pick up Parsons here in five of the six games. Even Newcastle Sunday, I'd be really surprised if he didn't get it. All them games, he'll hit Parsons here, bar Brighton away. And to be honest, I wouldn't even be shocked if he got it at Brighton, you know. So you're looking there at putting, say, 30 points on the board, whereas expectation on Saliba over that period... 10 for the two passing in the last two, plus a couple of clean sheets. That's what I'm saying. Depends how many Tottenham get. So, look, there's definitely upside in doing it. If you've got neither Romero or Porro, I'd probably do it. Having made my bed with Porro the other week, I'm obviously going to let Romero go, I think.
John Wayne transferred him, Bomo, for Dunk last week. And now, obviously, he's injured. Well, we don't know the full prognosis, but it doesn't look good. Would you keep or... move to Gross or Bowen. He's also looking at Tsimikas to Dunk.
It's worth saying, by the way, just thinking about it. Obviously, if you did go Saliba to Romero, that would give you cover for Son as well. Would it go who to Dunk?
You got to listen, James.
Sorry. I distracted myself because I was thinking, do you know what it was? I sat down and went, maybe I will still go Romero tonight. I couldn't get it out of my head.
He got Bowen for Dunk last week. Obviously, he's injured now. Would you keep him or move him to Gross or Bowen, bearing in mind he's also looking at Tsimikas back to Dunk. I don't know when he's going to do Tsimikas to Dunk. What's the best entry point for that?
I would, if I was a Boomo owner and I wanted Jared Bowen, yeah, I would do that tonight.
Get it done.
Yeah, I would do that. I would be staggered if Boomo played at the weekend. And to be honest, my prediction right now is you won't see him on this side of Overhaul.
And then they've only got Aston Villa and then the Villa game. There's a big gap.
I don't think you see him in any of them. I don't think he'll play for till next year. So I'd get that done personally. I'm not a doctor. I just saw what I saw with my eyes last night. On Dunk, here's the problem. And we've spoken about this. So you want to get Dunk back on probably the Sunday game against Arsenal, right? Sunday the 17th. Right, so he either gets booked against Burnley and he's suspended for Arsenal, so then there's no point. Or he doesn't get booked against Burnley and then you buy him for Arsenal knowing that he could get booked and then suspended for the one that matters most against Crystal Palace. You can't buy Lewis Dunk on that day. Can't.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a nightmare. And that's why, for me, that's right out now. They haven't kept a clean sheet all season. Pascal Gross is well capable as an alternative.
He's an all-rounder. Yeah.
So, look, if you want to buy Dunk on the night when Palace play Brighton, because you think there's enough upside in that on the captaincy, like, be my guest. I'm just saying right now, you can't buy him for that Arsenal game. You're going to kick yourself mad if he gets booked in that. And let's be honest, it's not the sort of game that he can't get booked in, right? You can't buy him on that Sunday. Now, if you've got an injury, then you could make the case. Burnley at home, okay, that could be a 10-pointer. Like, go and buy him Saturday. But same thing, I think. I just wouldn't buy him at the moment.
What's your thoughts on, after the City Palace game in a couple of weeks, Streaky saying, would you take out Haaland and any other City players, or do you have different plans? Trent is an option for me. You can definitely get some 3-for-1s, 4-for-1s.
Yeah, I mean, Trent's another one. You certainly get the 3-for-0. With that, that's more of a maybe go back. I mean, you could always take the view, as long as you leave money in the bank, that over that period, is there definitely going to be someone after Boxing Day you maybe want to come off to go back to Haaland for two captaincies, sure.
You get 3 Liverpool games, I think, for two me of as them well, at Anfield.
I always had a thought at the end that I'd want more than just Haaland and Alvarez because the Brentford game. But now I'm leaning into thinking it's not going to happen. Even that night against Everton, I see the team Wednesday 27th. There's no reason to think he wouldn't play. But if he didn't, would I rather captain a Chelsea player at home to Crystal Palace or a different Man City player at Everton? I'd probably just go to Chelsea player.
Because you'll see the team.
If Haaland got injured and missed Sheffield United on Saturday the 30th, would I be happy to captain a Chelsea player at Luton? Yeah, I would. Same thing. So I don't think I need the second City player. I think you'll still want to go back because Everton and Sheffield United have enough massive haul potential. He's clearly the outstanding captaincy option for those two. But yeah, I mean, selling Haaland for any player on Sunday the 17th is not any player, but you know what I mean. Any player that's got the 3 games, I think, 17th, then the next weekend and then Boxing Day, is every case to say, go and do it.
Cool.
Any other City player, I think there is, at the moment, it's been. So that's what I'm saying. Alvarez de Gross for me.
Dirk Digger, is Areola a keep until Overhaul now?
He is, because there isn't a sell point. Your only sell point is to Sanchez on Christmas Eve. And unless you've got no Chelsea coverage, I don't particularly think that's necessarily worth it.
Oh, my face is itching, mate.
Sorry, mate.
That's all right. Jimmy K, for those on Tim Ream, would you go Romero or Porro now, or go early on Dunk on Saturday, ready for the Palace captaincy?
I've talked myself into Tsimikas to Romero tonight, possibly, I think, while I'm doing this podcast. No, I would go Romero of the two. Romero, you know, it's like the old Rodri Foden. I know what Foden's ceiling could be. Yeah, but I know what Rodri's going to do. Yeah, Romero.
Yeah, I have to agree, even though I don't madly trust him. Right.
If you've only got one Tottenham player, I think he's an almost definite get tonight.
And last but not least, James, we've got a question from Adam Byram. Own both VVD and Trent. Which one would you lose for Son?
Hmm. same thing in the sense that VVD's got a little bit more guarantee. Trent's not miles off him, but he seems to be just
taking the corners and stuff. Yesterday, there was the goal came from a corner. Van Dijk had another chance from a corner. Yeah. Salah had that shot from a corner.
Yeah, so he's crossing new 70 attempts, Van Dijk.
I mean, that was VVD's first goal for a while, though. I would keep Trent because I get sucked into the upside of big returns. The sensible answer might be VVD, though.
It's also to factor into that as well, possibly no captaincy in that, assuming you've got Mo. But I do like the idea of having the secondary Liverpool. Oh, that's mad. Trent's on a little run now, isn't he?
Yeah, and
he's on a little run.
He can be streaking. The confidence is in there, and he's trying things. And I think having Konate there alongside him was helpful yesterday because Konate had a good game. I'd keep Trent, but I don't know if that's a sensible option or not.
Can I be honest with you? I wouldn't be keen on selling either at this minute in time. After Palace, maybe, but I get you're going to want Son probably for captaincy tonight. I get that.
I'm assuming Adam doesn't have a captaincy coverage for tonight.
I would guess so. I mean, even maybe he does, but Son, I think, is the standout tonight.
Explosive potential.
Oh, that's real tough, that.
Steve Cheek.
Didn't answer it.
going Trent.
I would
toss a coin.
Do you know what? I would think Van Dijk just got his goal. Sell him. There you go.
Steve Cheek. Actually, there was one more question, James. I did say Adam was going to be the last question. I didn't realise Steve's question's there. And Steve said, I hope Sidge is recovering from his tooth issues. I've got to ask you a question. Answer your question, Steve. And he's a West Ham fan. Even with Chelsea's nice run of fixtures, they're not really an option, are they? Except maybe for Sanchez.
Oh, heavily, no. And the thing is, you can't go blanket defensive because you don't know who they're going to play.
Palmer's Sanchez, all right as a filler because he's cheap.
When Pope got injured, I decided on Sanchez in about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
There wasn't really much to think about from that. You could go, oh, well, Sunday before Brighton and Man United wasn't the right time, but I knew that was going to cancel all the headaches of having some sort of Chelsea defensive coverage. I still think Thiago Silva's the best one to get. I don't think he'll play all 5 games. I think there's every chance he misses Palace at home or Luton away at the end. But he should play the Wolves one, which is the one you'll be worried about the most. That said, he has had a couple of sloppy displays recently, last night and at Newcastle a couple of weeks ago. But I think that would be the one. The rest is an absolute... It's a mystery still. In terms of who will make up that back line. I mean, he's played Cucurella right back last night. Yeah, it's a mess. Colwell looks like he's going to probably play left back when he plays, so there's nothing in that from Parsons here. Badiashile and Disasi, there's every chance they're going to share minutes. Rhys James on this format, I just think is not an option at the moment. So I think like you can go in, not heavy. Like Raheem Sterling's on 4 yellows as well. It's like,
yeah, it's not
that would
that
be
I'm...
a good differential to consider. That doesn't feel like it's on the table because of that. Particularly, you know, if you got booked to Everton on Sunday, misses Sheffield United, you're gutted. So I think Palmer enables perfectly. And I think Sanchez and Silva are the other two really at the moment. Otherwise, the rest is off the table for me.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Planet Sky FF and viewers because they watch on the old YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for grinning and bearing with a little bit of mealy mouthness, but we're there in the end. If you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/planetfpl. There's loads of different tiers you can join. You get additional content. You get ad-free podcasts if the ads annoy you. You get prize leagues. You get James's fixture planning spreadsheet, Slack channel, a whole community of hundreds of really cool, engaged fantasy managers. And it's Christmas, and if you want to support us at Christmas, you know, always helps, doesn't it, James?
Yeah, of course it does.
Tomorrow, we will review the rest of the game week.
Yes, we will.
From an FPL point of view, it's a full pod going out. We'll review the games, ready for another quick turnaround before we've got another weekend of fixtures as well. So wherever you're listening, make sure you're subscribed, and you'll get notified when that goes live. And we'll have the diff show out for patrons tomorrow. For the patrons today, James, you're streaming. Q&A.
I'll do a live stream for Basic Plus and above at 3 o'clock today. Just one for a 3-for-1 discussion, just to throw at you.
Go on.
Before we finish, I know we've spoken a lot about buying Watkins. Subject to where you're at, he might be a right filler to sell. And what I mean by that is you could make a move tonight for a Tottenham or a Newcastle player. Take the Thursday night game. You miss Watkins against Arsenal, which might feel dangerous based on what you saw last night. But on a selling of a 3-for-1, that's not bad. You got obviously the two teams play each other Sunday. And then obviously you've got the Tottenham Friday night against Forest or Newcastle against Fulham on the Saturday. Then go back on the Sunday. You can even then, if you wanted, in both case scenarios with Tottenham and Newcastle, take the Brentford-Sheffield United games and then flip it back to either again on the Saturday, who play Luton and Everton respectively. So if you are struggling for a real captaincy at the moment for some of the forthcoming days, Ollie Watkins' hokey-cokey actually might be the one that solves the problem. I won't be doing it.
Listeners, thanks again. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Back at you tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Play it your way. Cue music, please. Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.